Welcome. The topic today is how public leaders and program managers can use low-cost experiments to improve results in government. Instead of a traditional interview, as I usually do, in this podcast episode, I'm going to give an overview of the topic myself. The video version of the overview is available on the GovInnovator website. First, some quick background. Men and women in federal, state, and local governments serve the American people in numerous ways every day. But in a time of tight budgets and pressing challenges, how can public sector leaders and program managers find and test new ways to get even better results for citizens and better value for taxpayers? Today, I'd like to highlight one important tool for doing that, which is low-cost experiments, also known as low-cost randomized control trials, or RCTs. It's a tool that can be used to determine not just whether a program works or not, but also which versions of a program work best, or whether an operational change within a program improves results. Either way, low-cost experiments can help programs strengthen a culture of continuous learning and improvement. First off, what do we mean by experiments? The word experiment might make you think of a chemistry class, but experiment in this case simply means trying something new and then rigorously testing whether that new approach leads to better results. Probably the best-known example of these types of experiments, or randomized control trials, are pharmaceutical drug trials, where you have a treatment group and a control group, and people are randomly assigned to each. So you produce really credible information about whether a new drug is effective. But today, experiments are being used as a learning strategy in lots of other places. For example, many leading companies, including well-known tech firms, continuously test out potential improvements to their operations, sometimes doing thousands of experiments a year. And forward-looking public agencies at the federal, state, and local levels are also using experiments to learn what works. It can be as simple as testing out new letters that they send to program participants, or something more complicated, like testing out a new program strategy. Here's a quick example. Let's say a mayor is considering whether to expand a new type of job training program, but she doesn't know if the new approach is actually better than the current one. The city officials think it's better and have anecdotes and preliminary data to support that, but they don't have strong evidence. So instead of changing their whole job training system all at once, they decide to run an experiment, in other words, a randomized control trial. To do that, they take, say, 2,000 people who are eligible for job training in the city and essentially flip a coin in order to assign each person to either a program group that will be eligible for the new training services or a control group that will be eligible for the regular status quo training services. By creating a lottery in this way, or using random assignment as it's also called, the city can create two groups of people who are virtually identical, except for the fact that one group is eligible to receive the new services and the other isn't. As a result, any differences in outcomes between these two groups can be attributed to the new training program. In our example, let's say the results show that people who are eligible for the new training program did better than those in the control group in terms of becoming employed at good-paying jobs. The city might then want to expand the new program. But the results might also show that the new program didn't do any better than the status quo, or they might show that it actually did worse. Either way, the mayor now has valuable information for making job training policy decisions. She has hard data rather than just hunches. So that's an example of an experiment. But what about low-cost experiments that allow public sector officials to test new strategies or practices at very low cost? It turns out the biggest expense in rigorous program evaluation is collecting data from participants through surveys. But most programs already produce a lot of data, administrative data as they're called, and that can be used for experiments, assuming that the data are high quality and trustworthy. Also, statistical data from places like the U.S. Census Bureau can be used as well. In other words, low-cost experiments use existing high-quality data that are already being collected. That can bring the cost of rigorous evaluation way down. As a result, low-cost experiments can be a valuable complement to more traditional evaluation approaches and open up more opportunities for program managers to experiment and learn what works. So let's look at two real-life examples. The U.S. Department of Education wanted to help people who are struggling to pay their student loans. In particular, staff in the department wanted to encourage more people with delinquent debt to consider income-based repayment options, which allow student debt repayment to vary based on income. It's an approach that can be a big help to people with student loans, but the take-up rate was low. So, department staff decided to run an email campaign to alert those with delinquent student debt about the income-based repayment option and encourage them to sign up. But were emails an effective method for getting more people to sign up? and might different wording of the messages or email formats lead to better results? They weren't sure, so they decided to run an experiment and put it to the test. The Department of Education randomly assigned several thousand people who had delinquent student loan debt to receive one of several different email messages. And because some emails were sent out a few months before others, they were also able to compare the effect of receiving an email versus not receiving one. The results showed that people who received an email message about the income-based repayment option were more likely to sign up for that option. The results also showed that different formats of the email, or different wording, produced somewhat different results. With that information in hand, department staff could then design a broader outreach strategy based on evidence and not just hunches. But notice what made this a low-cost experiment. All of the data used for the experiment were already being collected by the department, so there weren't any extra data collection costs. A final example I'd like to share comes from New York City. There, city officials were considering offering bonuses to low-performing schools that increase student achievement, but they didn't know if those types of bonuses were actually effective or worth the cost. So New York City officials decided not to implement the new policy across the board all at once. Instead, they ran a low-cost experiment. They randomly assigned about 400 schools to either a program group that was eligible for the bonuses or a control group that wasn't. Then they tracked student achievement scores from the two groups of schools. The results showed that schools that were eligible for the bonuses didn't do any better in terms of student achievement. Based on the results, the city ended the program, freeing up resources for other efforts to improve student outcomes. The study itself was low cost because it used state test scores that were already being collected. The relevant data, in other words, were already in hand. Now, before I wrap up, a frequent question about randomized control trials is whether they're ethical. In particular, is it ethical to deny services to a control group? Ethical considerations are always important when considering and designing experiments. For example, they should only be used when you legitimately don't know whether the new approach that you're testing is effective or not. Just like you wouldn't restrict a prescription drug from a control group if you already knew, from research, that the drug was effective, you also wouldn't run an experiment in government if it meant denying services that you already knew, based on rigorous evidence, were beneficial. Moreover, in situations where there aren't enough funds to serve everyone, using a lottery, random assignment in other words, can be a fair way to allocate program slots. So that's a quick overview of low-cost RCTs. They're a great way to test out new innovations and see what works. Whether you're testing a small operational improvement or seeing which versions of a program work best, they can produce important insights relatively inexpensively. It's why low-cost RCTs should be a key tool in any public manager's toolkit, along with other important analytical approaches like performance management and more traditional program evaluation. Thanks for listening.